It is great to see you this morning. We have a great God, don't we? Amen. Yes, we do. Well, have you ever had a failure? I mean, one of those really big failures that you wish you could actually have back and you would not have that in your past. You have ever had one of those? What do you typically do when you have a failure? Make excuses for it? Do you blame others for it? Do you just ignore it and act like it didn't really happen? There was a guy up in Pennsylvania. His name was Stephen Felton. He committed 10 crimes. He actually went in and robbed 10 convenience stores with a pellet gun. And he did pretty well on most of them, except for one of them. He actually raised his mask. And he raised his mask at the convenience store clerk right there at the beginning. And so they caught it on video. So he goes on trial for robbing these 10 convenience stores. And they asked him about it. And they were asking, and they showed him the picture with the pellet gun with his mask up. And they said, "Is this you?" And he said, "No, that's my evil twin." I don't know if you make excuses like that. He did get convicted, and he was put in jail. But I don't know how you play out your failures. What do you do with it? There was another guy who he lived over in Watson, Louisiana. And he went to a bar that night. He had his truck, and he had his horse in the trailer. And so afterwards, he decided not to drive home drunk, which is a good choice. And here's what he said. He said, "When you get a little too much to drink, why not ride a horse? It's safer, and that way the horse knows the way home as well." So he ended up, he rode his horse home on the way home from the bar that night, and he ended up still getting a ticket for public intoxication. Now, I don't know what you do with your failures, but here's where we're at. Last week we started talking about Moses. If you have your Bibles, Exodus chapter 2. And as we left Moses last week in Exodus chapter 2, what we have is Moses making a major failure. He killed somebody. And he was trying to do God's work of delivering the Hebrews from the Egyptians. And he tries to do God's work, and he gets ahead of God, and he tries to do it his own way. And it ends up costing him, and he runs into the desert. And as he gets into the desert, the wilderness, it begins to be longer and longer, and he ends up sitting by the well, if you remember last week. And we talked about what happens, what do you do when you're maybe in this dry spot, and you're not really sure where to go. And your wilderness can be a number of things. Maybe it's because it's of a failure. Maybe your wilderness is something that maybe you didn't really plan on. It was a sickness that came on. Maybe it's something to do with your parents, or maybe it's something to do with your grandson or grandchild. I don't know. But wilderness can happen because of your job. A wilderness experience is that valley experience where you're not just living life on the mountaintop, but you end up living in that valley, in that wilderness where it's dry, it's dirty, it's dusty. There's nothing really coming out for you. And the question becomes, why are you here? What do you need to do? And last week we talked about how we need to set by the well, and we need a drink of the living water from God, and let God be God, and let God do a work in our hearts and lives instead of trying to push and shove. Let God do a work. And so that's where we left Moses last week, was sitting by a well. And so today, here's what I would like to talk to us about. I'm going to give you some lessons that we all need to learn when we're in the wilderness, when we're having those valley experiences where we don't really want to be, but yet life has just forced us there. It's where we're at. It's just what's going on. What do we do with it? What is God wanting to do with this? And I submit to you today that some of your greatest spiritual growth will occur in the wilderness. And God has lessons that he would like to teach you today. So would you please stand for the reading of God's word, Exodus chapter 2. Go all the way down to verse 16. If you do not have your Bibles, we have Bibles in the on back here on these chairs. We also have, we'll be putting the up on the screen for you to be able to follow along. Here's what the Bible says. "Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. The shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and saved them and watered their flock. When they came home to their father, Reuel, he said, 'How is it that you have come home so soon today?' And they said, 'An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and even drew water for us and watered the flock.' And he said to his daughters, 'Then where is he? Why have you left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread.' And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses his daughter Zipporah. She gave birth to a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, 'I have been a sojourner in a foreign land.'" Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this day. I am so thankful that we have the privilege and the opportunity to gather with other believers, to enjoy the fellowship of other believers, just to talk, to encourage, and to help each other in this journey. God, as we now come into this time where we've sang songs, God, what a privilege to be reminded once again through songs of how great you are, and that you are our strong tower, the God who is here. And we really, truly pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would fill this place. We need you to speak into our lives. God, we need to hear from you. So I pray that your Holy Spirit would remove distractions. God, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would anoint me and speak through me. And God, I pray that your words would be spoken today. Minister to our hearts. There are many needs in this room. Many that are even unspoken that we don't even want to share with others. But God, you know where they're at and you know what's going on. And God, I'm asking for your power and your Holy Spirit to speak and to minister so that, Father, we come away a different people because we've heard from you. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, so here's what we have. We have Moses, who is now in the wilderness, and if you remember, he's sitting by a well. So he's sitting by a well. He's run from Pharaoh. He's committed murder. His life, there's now a death warrant out for Moses, and so he's running away, and he's traveled across at least a couple wildernesses to get down here to the land of Midian. And so as he's there, he's thinking, oh man, my life is over. He's gone from the palace, being prince, being one of the main commanders in the Egyptian army, had much power, and now he's in the desert and sitting around going, okay, what is going to happen with my life? And the Bible tells us, then here come some ladies. Ladies who are shepherds, shepherdesses. They're keeping their father's flock, and they come to water their flock. And so Moses is sitting down. And just play it out for a minute. Do you think he's frustrated? Probably. Do you think he's upset? Yes. Do you think that he is maybe even going into depression? Maybe. Because he's now lost everything. He feels like there's no use for him at all. And now he's sitting by and he sees this begin to transpire. The ladies begin to pour water. They begin to get water out for their sheep. And next thing you know, there are a lot of other shepherds who come in. So this must be kind of one of the only places to get water in the desert, right? So these other shepherds come with their flocks, and they begin to somehow be mean. They begin to be aggressive, and they push the ladies out and their sheep away, and they begin to take over, and they begin to water their own. And so Moses sees this, and he has a choice. He's frustrated. He's upset. And then let's be real honest. When your world is crashing down, what is the first thing that you want to do? Help somebody else? No, it's all focused on ourselves. And so here's Moses. He has a choice. What is he going to do? And the Bible tells us that Moses does what? Look back down in verse 17. The shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and saved them and watered their flock. Here's the first lesson as you begin to get into your wilderness experience. You ready? Is you need to learn to be a servant. Learn to be a servant. Now, being a servant means this, that it's going to require that it's not going to be easy for you. It's going to be out of your comfort zone. It's not going to be at the time that you want it to be. He really wanted to focus on himself. He's frustrated. He's hurt. He's lost everything. He doesn't know what to do. And instead of focusing on himself, what does he do? He serves. Serve. Find a place. Find someone else. And try to meet their need. And that's what Moses needed to do. Now, in our wilderness, that's the last thing we want to do. The last thing. Because what we want is we want others to minister to us. We want others to help us. And what God wanted to show Moses is this. Moses, you spent the last 40 years, you spent the last 40, 35 years in the palace where you think that you're number one, where you think that it's all about you. And Moses, what you need no more than anything else is right now, you need to understand, everybody else isn't going to serve you anymore. Don't we get in those places in our lives? Kind of pride begins to set in and we begin to look at ourselves and we begin to think, oh yeah, you know what? Everybody's here to serve me. And what Moses needed is that he needed to be slammed into the wilderness and have the sandpaper of God begin to move in his life and begin to chop away and say, Moses, your pride has got to go. Your pride is over. It's not about you. It's about serving others. And sometimes what it takes is we know we're supposed to serve, right? We know that. I mean, that's just kind of part of it. We know that. You're like, yeah, I hear that. But sometimes it takes the wilderness to get our attention, to help drive home the point that it's not about you. And Moses is sitting down and he has this choice. Okay, so he gets up. And I love the fact that Moses has a sense of justice. He's got to do something about it. So he helps out the ladies and then he even pours and helps water their flock. So the ladies say thank you. They say thank you and then they leave and they go back home. And the dad goes, hey, ladies, how did you get home so early? This is great. You're home at lunch, at dinner time. This is great. Why did you get home so early? And they say, oh, dad, it was crazy. We were there. Then there was a fight like we normally have. And they're trying to push us away. And they're driving us away. And in the middle of it, there's this guy, this Egyptian. And he shows up. And he begins to fight for us. And he even helps us water our sheep. And he goes, really? Where is he? Well, Dad, we didn't invite him home. What? Haven't I taught you about hospitality? Haven't I taught you about being kind? Yeah, Dad, but, I mean, he's an Egyptian. And so he goes, go get him. Bring him home. Let's go. Come on, this is a good thing. This is a good day. He's a nice guy. Bring him home. Now, I find a little bit of humor there, don't you? That sometimes even in once we serve, now watch, Moses served, and he didn't expect anything in return. Sometimes what we do is we serve, and we're like, okay, I'm going to do this, and if I do this, then I'm going to get something back. But the heart of a true servant is this: I'm going to serve even if I get nothing out of it. So Moses served, and then what did he do? He sat back down by the well. He got nothing out of it. There was no gain for him. So he sits down by the well, and he's waiting and going, well, that was kind of a fun day. Maybe I'll get to see something like this again tomorrow. There's nothing else happening. And he sits, and he waits. And then one of the ladies come back. Hey, come on home with us. Okay, and he comes back. Now, so the first lesson in the wilderness that God wants to teach us is being a servant. Look at number, let's go down to verse 20. So he said to his daughters, then where is he? Why have you left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. Verse 21. And then it says this, and Moses was content to dwell with the man. You ready? The wilderness lesson that we need to learn, the second one is this, learn to be content. Now watch. This is a big one because Moses is coming from where? The land of Egypt. One of the premier nations of that time. And he's coming from a very nice, luxurious resort. It's a 5-star resort. It's the top of the line. He's coming from the palace near the Nile River where everything is green. And he has grapes. He has fish. He has everything that he could ever want. And they're always bringing it to him. He doesn't have to do much. He had servants everywhere. He's coming from that type of land. And now he ends up, he has the Egyptian linen clothes, silk clothes. I mean, he has it all, right? And he ends up in the desert. He has nothing to his name. And the Bible says, and he was content to dwell with the man. Now let me ask you, how well are you doing on your contentment? Are you content? When you look at your closet, are you content? Well, you are until you go to the store, right? Or you get that email. How content are you? Are you content with your job? No, I mean, that's a pretty good one, right? I mean, I heard that one loud and clear. Most everybody would say the same thing. No, I don't. Are you content with your finances? Are you content? Moses loses everything. And here's the lesson for the wilderness. Sometimes what God needs to do is he needs to work in our hearts and he needs to work in our lives in such a way he has to get our attention. And the only way he gets our attention is to teach us. He says, I'm going to take you into this wilderness to show you it's not about things. It's not about the things that you have. It's about who you have. It's about God. And so what God has to do is he has to remove the things and the priorities and the things that we cling to and we crave. And so he takes us into a wilderness to take us to that place where things no longer matter. Where God truly is the only one we're craving. So he takes Moses there and it says Moses was content. I find that fascinating. Because let's be real honest, if you've ever lost maybe a job or maybe lost your stuff, it's hard to be content, isn't it? And Moses lost it all, and now it says that he was content. Now keep watching. So Moses is content to dwell with the man, and then it says this, And so he gave Moses his daughter, Zipporah, and she gave birth to a son. So here we go. You ready? Here's your next lesson in the wilderness. The next lesson is learn to be ordinary. Now watch. He gets married, and he has a kid, and he becomes a shepherd. Learn to be ordinary. Some of what has to happen for Moses is this, is that he goes from being somebody where everybody recognizes, where everybody knows, and he has to learn to be ordinary. He wanted to be extraordinary. He was told he was extraordinary. He was told that he was something special. And maybe your mom has told you that for all your life, and you really believe you're something special. And when you keep wanting something special and something big to happen, now watch. And what God needs to do sometimes in our life is he has to take us to a wilderness to show us it's not about your big plans. That God is actually wanting to work in your ordinary. See, you have to get up and go to work every day. I do too. And you don't think God's in it. And you're going, man, it's just an ordinary life. I'm married. I've got kids. It's just ordinary. And there's not anything really special going on in my life right now. And can I just say, in your ordinary is where God is wanting to do the extraordinary. But what we fail to do is we fail to allow God to work because we keep dreaming of something bigger than what we have. Are you following this? And Moses had to learn that it wasn't about being the main guy in Egypt, but it was about being just ordinary and doing the daily, being faithful in the little. The ordinary. And in the ordinary and in your life, if we could get to a point where we allow the wilderness to take us and say, you know what, God? I don't need the big plans. I just need you. And I just need you to work in my life today. That's all I need. Whew. What an incredible lesson. What an incredible place to be. So Moses, he has a wife, he has a kid, and as a matter of fact, he's going to have another one. And here's what he says. And the Bible says, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. So now he has to learn something interesting. He names his kid a sojourner in a foreign land. The next lesson is learn to be obscure. Your wilderness experience might require that God pulls you back and puts you in a place where nobody knows you. Moses goes from walking down the streets and people bowing. Pay attention to that. That's huge. Where everybody knew his name. That's the prince of Egypt. Look at him. He's the commander. He's the one in which, look, that's Moses. So he has to now go to the bottom rung. Egyptians felt like the shepherds were the lowest class of citizen that there ever could be. He goes from being the top to being the lowest class. He learns to be obscure. See, he goes from being best in class, most probable to succeed, to now nobody even knows who he is. He's just a shepherd. Just a shepherd. With a wife, with a kid, on the backside of the desert. Now, here's what happens. See, what God was needing to do with Moses' life is to show him that he was a nobody, that he really didn't have it all put together. See, Moses, I think I told you this last week about D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody said that Moses spent the first 40 years learning to be somebody in Egypt. And then he has to spend the next 40 learning to be nobody, and that it's okay, and that it's okay to be here. To be obscure. Let me speak to the college students for just a second. You ready, guys? Many of you, you're making plans for your life right now. And you're making big plans. And you're saying, yes, I want to be this. I want to do this. And I want to, yes, dream big for God. But don't allow the dream to become the substitute for knowing God. Did you catch that? Because if the dream's more important than knowing God, then you will fail and you'll miss it all. And you'll miss what God really wants to do. So what God had to do for Moses, saying, Moses, I'm not trying to make you a popular leader. I'm not trying to make you a big shot. Moses, what you need to know is you need to be okay with being a nobody so that way I can actually use you. You see that? It's okay. So Moses, you're going into the wilderness, and in your wilderness experience, you're going to learn to be obscure. Now keep watching what happens now. So he says, I'm a sojourner in a foreign land. I don't have anything to my name. I'm having to eat food that I don't even know about. This is weird, being displaced and not being the top guy. And so he continues. Now, I'm going to skip verse 23 through 25. I'm going to come back to it in just a minute. Let me drop down to verse 1 of chapter 3. Here's what the Bible says. Now, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. Now, I wrote and I underlined here, keeping. Why? Because here's what's happened now. The next lesson that Moses has to have is patience. We just dropped three verses. Do you know how much time is represented in those three verses? 40 years. Listen to me. 40 years of being obscure, 40 years of being in the wilderness, of being a nobody, 40 years of doing the ordinary. And let's be real honest. It's okay to do the ordinary for a day. It's okay to do the ordinary for a week. It is hard to do the ordinary and be a no-name. And it's hard to see God not moving and God not working for 40 years. Let me even make another point. You ready? So for 40 years, what he's needing to learn is patience. And we don't want patience. It's like we pray and say, okay, God, give me patience and give it to me now. We don't want patience. That's the last lesson any of us want to learn. We don't want it. If we could have our preference, here's what we'd say. Okay, God, I want the lessons of the wilderness. I want the spiritual growth of the wilderness. But I need a shortcut. Right? I need a shortcut. I need to get through it faster. I need to get through it because it's hurting too much. It's too painful. I don't want to be here, so God, help me get out of it. And in 40 years, listen, we already know the end of the story. We already know what's about to happen. But Moses doesn't. And it's just another ordinary day. And it's been 40 years. And God hasn't shown up yet. Do you see that? Do you feel it? 40 years, you've been praying. You've been praying for God to work. You've been praying and asking God to show up. And you're saying, God, would you change this situation? God, I need you. And if you don't show up, God, nothing's going to happen. So God, where are you? And you've been praying and you've been praying and you've been praying. And there's no change. See, I can imagine Moses the first month or two in the wilderness. I can imagine the next couple months where he's just praying. He's begging and pleading, God, God, forgive me. Help me get through this. God, I've lost everything. God, show up. And he's praying and he's begging God, and God's not showing up. Now, after 6 months, after a year of God not working, let's be real honest. Our faith begins to get weak, doesn't it? And we begin to say, God, I guess you're not speaking. I guess you're not working. And what God is wanting to teach Moses in this time of wilderness is that it's not going to be on your time. So you need to learn patience. Do you see it? And here's what patience does. It removes our pride. It removes the expectations. It removes all of the, God, you owed me. I thought you should do this. And it removes all of that because God says, I'm going to keep you here. And I'm the one who allowed you to go into this wilderness. And I'm going to keep you here as long as I need it. And as long as it takes to get you to a point. And here's what it does. It takes Moses 40 years. 40 years. He's probably given up by now, thinking that he could ever be the deliverer. He's probably given up thinking, man, God could ever, maybe God can't use me now. He doesn't see it. And you're going to see that in chapter 3 when we get into the excuses. He doesn't think that God could ever use him again. It's washed up, washed out. It's over for him. And some of you are sitting back and you're tired. You're tired of praying. You're tired of asking God to work and seeing no change. Don't give up yet. It's the wilderness. And God, by design, might just be quiet to see if you're willing to trust even when you don't understand. Does that make sense? Trust. Trust him. He's big enough. He's big enough. Trust him. So here we go. So Moses is now learning patience. 40 years. And here's what it says. He's keeping the flock of his father-in-law. Now, can I just, let me hit this one more time. You ready? He goes from most likely to succeed to the top of his class there at the Oxford of this age, right? everybody knowing who he is. So for 40 years, he's got nothing. And listen, from the age of 40 to the age of 80, his most productive years, his years in which he should be making, having the most success in his life, he's accomplished nothing. And here's how I know he's really accomplished nothing. Ready? It says that he's keeping not his own flock, but he's still keeping his father-in-law's flock. That's a little frustrating, isn't it? I mean, because let's just say Moses had a little bit of a type A personality, and he's always wanting to succeed and always wanting to climb up the ladder, right? Because that's kind of who he was those first 40 years. He accomplishes nothing in the second 40 years of any human value. Do you see it? So here we go. Watch. So it says, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, the west side, let's just talk about this for a second. Now, I mean, this is not going to be one of those Broadway plays or something where we're going to start banging on chairs. And I mean, it's not that type of story. The west side is, for the Hebrews, let me give you this illustration. Here's how when they were going to tell the direction, they would always face to the east where the sun would rise. And when they faced the east, then they would know, okay, when I face to the east, to the right is south and to the left is north. So what would always be to the back? The west side. So here's what's going on. He's on the west side. He's on the farthest place away from God. He's in the outback, if you will, where God has really truly turned his back on him. And that's where the scriptures is telling us. He's on the west side. He's where God's presence isn't. But yet, we know that God's already there, right? Here's the lesson. The last lesson is this, is that God needs to teach Moses how to be alone. Your wilderness, by very design, is to teach you how to be alone. Now, our temptation is this, to run to talk to everyone, to get other people on our side. Our temptation is to want the accolades and praise of men. That's our temptation. That's what we want. We're needing somebody to come alongside us saying it's going to be okay and to give us praise. Moses has had 40 years of people telling him how great he is, how good he is. And now he gets to the backside of the desert, of the wilderness, and all he gets to tell his wife when he comes home each night is, hey, you should have seen the sheep today. They did a crazy trick. I had this one that jumped off a cliff. I mean, I've never seen such an idiot. You know, I mean, what does he tell us? Every day it's that ordinary. There's not much there for 40 years. He's on the backside and he has to learn to be alone. Now, here's what you need to hear, and here's what maybe you need to, maybe God is wanting to speak to you. You ready? You see, what Moses had to learn is how to be in solitude and be alone so that he could actually hear from God. We live in a day and age where we hate being quiet. We hate solitude. We hate being alone. We turn on the TV as fast as we can. We turn on the radio every chance we get. We get on social media. We're calling. We're texting. We cannot get alone. And so God removes everything from Moses and says, you get to deal with sheep all day long. So you can learn to be alone. Now, we can jump and fast forward ahead, and we're going to know that when he faces Pharaoh, Pharaoh's going to be mad at him. All the Egyptians are going to get mad at him. And then all the children of Israel are going to get mad at him. Moses had to do before he could ever be the leader God called him to be is Moses had to learn to be alone so he could stand alone, so it would be him and God alone. Did you catch that? And there's no other way except to take you into the wilderness to remove all the things that you're depending on. Where God says, I'm going to remove it all so that you understand, Moses, it's about you and me and you hearing from me. And so you're not going to depend on anything else. So here you are, Moses, alone on the backside of the desert where you think I'm not there. That's where I'm going to teach you how to be alone. And that wilderness, it's scary and it's hard when you're alone. But you're in the perfect place because you're in the hand of Almighty God. How do I know that? Let me just encourage you with this last part. You ready? Go back to chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Let me show you what's going on. It seems like God is being quiet, right? seems like God hasn't answered, that God isn't working, that God is doing nothing. In verse 23, here's what it says. During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery, and they cried out for help. And their cry for rescue from slavery came up to who? Came up to God. And it says this, and God heard. Do you see it? You can underline it in your Bible, and God heard their groaning. God hears you when you're calling, even when you don't think he's listening. God hears those prayers. In your bed, all alone. God hears your prayers when you're driving in your car. God hears your prayers. And then it says this, and God remembers. You can underline that one as well, remembers. So God hears, God remembers. And what does he remember? His covenant-keeping, faithful, loving kindness. The promises that he's already made. When you're in your wilderness, go back to the promises of God, because God will never break his promises. And he remembers his love, and he says, I remember my faithful keeping love that's pursuing you. And then it says this, with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob, and God saw. Do you see it? And God saw. I underline the word saw, the people of Israel, and then it says God what? You see it? He knew. My friends, you're sitting in your wilderness and you're wondering if God hears your prayers because God hasn't moved and he's not moving on your timetable. I can promise you this. God hears your prayers. He sees your pain. He knows your agony. He knows deep down within your heart what you're craving. And God understands how to minister to you where you're at. And his loving kindness has not forgotten you. He is pursuing you. And all you need to know is you keep coming to God. You keep praying and you keep seeking and you keep asking God to show up. And here's what's going on. God is working even when you can't see it. Moses didn't know that God was working. He had no idea. But God was working even when Moses couldn't see it. And he has a plan. And he has a plan for you to plan to prosper and to bless you and to do exceedingly great things in your life and through your life. You don't feel it at this moment. You don't feel it. And you don't feel like God's there. But my friend, he's there. He is there. And his grace and his mercy are never ending. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and kindness. God, it's amazing how that you pursue us. How that you give grace. And your word says that your mercies are renewed every day, so it can never be drained or liquidated. God, it's amazing that your mercy is so good. So Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to trust even in our wilderness. Before I continue, every head bowed, every eye closed, here's what I'm going to ask. How many would say, Pastor Heath, would you pray for me? I'm in a wilderness right now and I need your prayers. Just pray for me right now. Just raise your hand. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, you see these hands. God, you know what's going on. You know exactly what they need. God, what they need is you. So I pray that you would leave a blessing behind. Your word tells us that there's nothing that is too difficult for you. So God, in this wilderness, I'm praying for a blessing. And I'm praying that you would show up in a mighty way. And help us to have the strength to believe, the strength to trust. In Jesus' precious name I pray.
Thanks for listening to the Oaks Kids. The Oaks meets on Sundays at 9 a.m. for traditional service and 10:30 a.m. for contemporary service. For more info, visit us at discovertheoaks.org.